to say you are, and what a great blessing you're about to receive to have an apostle of the Lord come and to minister, to teach, and to testify to you. It's interesting. One of the questions that I was assigned to Carlos is, I said, what is it like, and what are spiritual experiences that you have had while you've been with members of the 12 or other general authorities? And my answer to that question is that you are now living that with me. I can't be in the presence of an apostle without feeling conviction and understanding that although Elder Oaks is so humble, he was foreordained as an apostle of the Lord. And if we open our hearts, we will know, we will always know that he is one of the Lord's anointed, and what a great blessing that is. And so I know it was a fun question. If that one, that's an easy one. I'm living that right now. I know you are living that because you're going to be able to hear his testimony and his counsel. It's not just happenstance that he's here. It's providence. And that the Lord has sent him here. And isn't it awesome how we get to receive that message? I wanted to share with you just briefly something that, as Elder Austin was speaking, came to my mind. So I hurried up and I went through my notes because Elder Oaks taught something in the most recent session. And the other two questions that I had received is, how do we obtain and gain a testimony and keep that testimony burning? And Elder Oaks, he shared three points just an hour ago. He said, one, we need to be filled. And he talked about a pen that is not filled with ink. It's not useful. We need to be an instrument in the Lord's hands. Two, we need to be in working order. We need to take care of ourselves. And three, we need to proceed on the Lord's timetable. Isn't that awesome? To let his will be done. Now, can I talk to you for a minute about something that's on my mind as I saw you come in? And what came to my mind is a scripture in John chapter 14. This is the Savior speaking to each one of us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Isn't it interesting that we live in a world, a very complex world, and in this complex world, we're chasing for the complex answer. And the true answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. His way is not the world's way, but his way is the only way that leads to safety. So if I had any advice for you, and it would be to be like Moses. I need to tell you about Moses. I love Moses chapter 1. How many of you here have ever seen a tantrum of a 2-year-old or a little baby before? Raise your hand. Awesome. You read, guess what? If you read chapter 1 of Moses, you get to see Satan throwing tantrums, okay? Because he doesn't get his way. But what I think is awesome about Moses chapter 1 is that we learn a pattern, and this pattern can help us be safe and help you as youth be safe. I've had a lot of youth as a bishop and as a state president that would come in and they would say, all is lost for me. And I would say, all is lost, it's over for me. And what I learned is sometimes they were too hard on themselves. They'd make a mistake, and then they would define themselves by that mistake. And then before long, they would find themselves pretty far away from the church and far away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And interestingly, they would define themselves by an inappropriate action. You see, no matter what happens in our lives, we are defined as sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. That never changes. Don't ever let Satan change your mind on that. Think about it in Moses chapter 1. Moses was with God. God taught him, Moses, my son. And then he spoke of his only begotten. two things. You are my son, and the Savior lives. What were the first attacks that Satan had on Moses when he showed up on the scene? Anybody remember? Moses, thou son of man. Right. You're not a son of God, you're a son of man. And then he said, worship who? He said, worship me. And don't worship the Savior. So if I had, and what did Moses do? He was awesome. He stood firm and steadfast, and he said, who are you, and where is your glory? For it is darkness unto me. And he basically shunned him. But Satan didn't give up. He kept telling him, no, you got to follow me, you got to follow me. And then that's when you get to see the Satan tantrums, because he doesn't get his way, because Moses says, no, I'm the son of God, and I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will only follow him. And so if I had one answer to the question of how to stay firm and steadfast, it would be remember who you are and remember who he is, meaning the Son of God. I know that he lives. How many of you like basketball? Raise your hands. We're in Kansas. Everybody should like basketball. So let me tell you real quickly. This is a way to illustrate that, and I need to sit down. What would happen if we had this huge team? Everyone's 7'6". They're all on our team. They run 4.3 40s, and they jump. They have 50-inch verticals, and they shoot 85% from 3-point line. That's our team. Is that awesome? And over here, we have another team, and they're out in front here, and they stand, the tallest guy's 2'1", okay? And these guys are supposed to play these guys. This is our team. This is the not-so-good team. What's their strategy to beat us? I heard somebody say, take them out at the knees, right? Well, you know what? That's exactly what happens. You are so much more magnificent as it pertains to sons and daughters of God. You're unbeatable. Satan can't beat you. So what does he do? He wants to take you out of the game. He wants you to define yourself for who you are not instead of for who you are. I'm here to tell you, you are sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. He loves you. He sent his Son. Even Jesus Christ. I know that he lives. We are his children. I would hope and I pray that we will always follow him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.